Today, we talk about how to keep your team accountable without being a micromanager. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 24 of CultureCast. I'm your host, Jay Lippman, and I'm glad you could join me. Hope you guys had a great Halloween. This year, the girlfriend and I took the kid trick-or-treating for the first time ever. She had a blast. We had our neighbors with us, and they had their son with them. It was a lot of fun. But now it's Wednesday, and it's time to get back to work. This week, I wanted to talk about something that has plagued the lives of everyone from the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies to the shift leader at your local coffee shop. Get this one right, and you can build strong relationships with your coworkers while staying productive. Get it wrong, and you'll risk burning out and losing your best workers. This week, we're going to talk about keeping your team accountable without being overbearing. In an earlier episode of CultureCast, I talked about how micromanagers are created and the destructive effects that they can have on their team. The fact of the matter is that no one likes to have every step of their work critiqued and questioned. It doesn't inspire productivity, it just leads to burnout and rebellion. On the flip side, completely stepping back and letting your team do whatever they want whenever they want doesn't necessarily accomplish productivity either. The phrase, when the cat is away, the mice are at play, does hold some weight. Completely unsupervised teams tend to get sidetracked, causing them to miss deadlines and upset your customers. In order to stay productive, you will have to find a way to keep your team accountable without being a micromanager. Over the years, I've found several ways to accomplish this. Some of these methods were taught to me by friends, coworkers, and bosses, but to be honest, most of them were learned through trial and error. Today, I'd like to give you some of the tactics that I've used to hold the people who have worked for me accountable without crossing that thin line into micromanagement. The first tactic I'd like to discuss is the art of determining capability. As a service manager for an electrical contractor, one of my responsibilities was deciding which electrician was going to which job. When I first started out, I didn't give too much thought to this, assuming that every electrician had the skills needed to do every job that came up. Ultimately, this led to a lot of angry customers who claimed that the electrician that I sent them wasn't knowledgeable enough to fix their problem. To fix this, I had to take the time to learn the specific skills that each of my electricians had. I made it a point to assign them jobs that were a good match for their skill set. Not only did this lead to happier customers, it also led to a lot less pressure on me. Because I knew that the electrician that I sent on the job was well suited for their assigned tasks, I no longer felt the need to constantly call them for updates. I could now keep my calls with them limited to one or two just to check in and determine the arrival time for their next job. The fact of the matter is that no one person has the skills to do everything that needs to be done. Unfortunately, many managers still operate under the opposite assumption, causing them to feel the need to watch everyone like a hawk and micromanage every step along the way. By making sure that the person you assign to a task has the skill set, tools, and support that they need, you will feel much less obligated to be an overbearing boss, allowing you to actively trust your team to complete their tasks. Let's move on to setting clear expectations and goals. The best leaders I've ever met have two-way conversations. At the end of those conversations, both parties should understand what's expected and how success will be measured. In general, the goals you agree upon should be based on the SMART acronym. For those of you who don't know, SMART stands for specific, measurable, agreed upon, realistic, and time-based. When having these conversations, try to avoid discussing the negative consequences of missing these goals. Inspiring people with negativity and fear rarely works out well in the end. Instead, try to encourage your team to keep an open dialogue regarding the new assignment. This way, you all can stay up to date and potentially redefine the expectations if necessary. Now, in order to have that open dialogue, you're going to have to build trust with your team, which is the next tactic on my list. Managers sometimes mistakenly believe that they can convince their teams to be more accountable by creating intricate, foolproof systems. They think that if they can lay out every step that should be taken to perform a task and teach those steps to their team, then their employees will be automatically more accountable. While I can understand this way of thinking, it neglects something that has to come before accountability: commitment. Simply put, if your employees don't trust and like you, they won't commit to you or your projects. Without that commitment, good luck trying to inspire them. Your only choice at that point is to use manipulation or fear, which, as we discussed, doesn't work. If your employees do trust and like you, however, they'll be naturally accountable because they'll be talking to you all the time. So focus on building relationships with your employees that are based on a mutual trust of each other. I found that it's really the only way to keep your team properly motivated. Now let's talk about the last tactic. This might be a difficult shift for some managers to make, but I promise you it's worth it. Let's talk about discussions versus confrontations. In my teenage years, I dreaded going to McDonald's. Why? Because that's where my stepdad took me whenever I was in trouble, which, let's be honest, was kind of a lot. Whenever he wanted to talk about all of the things I was doing wrong, he would invite me to hop in the truck and go get a cheeseburger. Once we were in the car, he would start laying into me about all of the ways that I was screwing up. These conversations rarely ended up being productive. Instead, they led to more hostility and rebellion on my part. While the grown-up version of this involves a conference room or an office in place of a fast food restaurant, the concept remains the same. Saving up complaints for one big meeting doesn't work. It doesn't inspire accountability or productivity. Instead, opt for having small discussions whenever an issue comes up and try to resolve it peacefully before it becomes a big issue. While this might lead to more frequent conversations, they won't be as severe as having one big confrontation. All right, guys, time to wrap things up. These are just a few of the tactics that I have used to promote accountability while avoiding becoming a micromanager. To find out the rest, you'll have to read my book when it comes out. To get notified when it launches and to get an exclusive discount when it does, make sure to sign up for my mailing list. Guys, thank you for listening to this week's episode. Until next week, I'm Jay Littman, and this is Culture Cast.